Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, and it is September 1st, Rachel. Mm-hmm. You know what today is? If you love history, you'd probably know. I wouldn't have remembered, but I happened to read about it yesterday. And it just so happened that it is September 1st today. Today was the day where World War II began.
Oh, I was going to say today's the day that I read my horoscopes for the month.
Oh, it is, on the first of every month. Okay. Well, that's fine. Did you read it?
Which is just as important as World War II.
Well, it is. Memorial. Depends how you look at it.
I did, obviously. It's the first of the month.
No, but you did already. I didn't know if you yesterday. So where do you read it?
Online.
Online. Is it like a reliable source?
Do you read a few? As reliable as horoscopes get. Right. I read, there's two that I just like reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess you come back to it, so do you feel it's accurate, or?
It's more, I don't like live my life by it, but it's more just like positive words, of more like affirmations and things. Right. But yeah, they've been pretty accurate for me.
Ah, yeah. Very interesting. There you go, mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, think about it. They read the planets and the suns and the stars,
right.
Which that's been studied for thousands upon thousands of years, you know what I mean? Like, I connect more to that than anything else.
Yeah. I know. The question is, does it have any meaning as far as our lives go?
I mean,
and
I don't know.
Debatable.
I'm not a religious person, and I think that...
You are spiritual, though, right?
I mean,
do you believe there's something more than just the physical world?
I just don't worry about it. I just think that maybe there is, but like as humans, we won't ever comprehend or be able to like even understand or fathom like what that is. And I also like am not going to live by my life by like I know the concept of faith, but like I would rather just focus on what like I know to be true,
right?
You know
right.
what I mean, and the rest is all just kind of for fun,
right? Mm-hmm. Getcha. So I'll accept that. I wanted to add that I did go to an astrologist once, and it was pretty right on, you know.
Yeah.
And as far a numerologist was very accurate. We had a woman that does these charts based on the Kabbalah.
Of course.
Stars.
You'll find like that. And then you'll find, like, my mom went to someone once, and she said she was going to have two boys, and she had two girls. So. You know, I mean, I
go.
Think it's all.
Well, we have a psychic down the street here, too. Downstairs.
I don't know how those, but then, like, that's what I'm like. How do those places stay in business?
I don't know. I've never seen anybody walk in.
Never.
There. And
they're,
we've been there 4 years.
They're obviously a front.
Yeah.
For something.
Front for something,
yes.
Right? I never even seen the psychic herself. I don't know who she is.
But the sign is always on and the door is always open.
Right?
And I've never met someone who's like, yeah, that's my
I know. Maybe we should try and check it out. Go in with a video camera. Mm. No,
I don't
and
even
just
think
see
they'll like video cameras.
No, I just go in to see who is there, you know?
Yeah, but
I'm
not
gonna
ever
do a
reading.
They'll
let us with video cameras.
No, I know. But just to walk in and see who's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, even without video cameras, I mean, I just want to go in and
then
say,
they'll never leave you alone.
Right. Well, we'll ask them to come on the show here and we'll see how they survive.
Plus, if they were psychic, they would know that we would want them here.
Well, maybe they need to be more specific than that. But at any rate, we do have a great guest. We'll bring him on in just a second. I did open, though, with... World War II, and I just wanted to say that the way the war started was Hitler invaded Poland.
I thought you were going to say the war started by Hitler reading a bad horoscope.
Mm. No, actually, you were the one with the horoscope. I was the one with the World War II. And there's no... But
it started by how?
I think they do say that Hitler believed in astrology and stuff. I'm not sure.
He was very into aliens and space.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So they invaded in what they call the Blitzkrieg, which is lightning war, whereas it had never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So tanks and airplanes and everything all at once, those Poles didn't even know what hit them.
I literally learned all of this every year in Hebrew school. I feel like I'm somewhat
in Hebrew
of an,
school, really?
Of course. I'm somewhat of like yeah, I consider myself like self-proclaimed a expert on World War II.
That's awesome. So not we can really, talk about it like, all day.
I mean, I learned a lot about it as a young child.
Right.
More than anything.
I'm just interested in it because, well, first of all, you're right about it's like movies and stuff when you're young. My dad used to love World War II movies, so he'd take me all the time. And I kind of started liking
it.
But only lately, I've been reading a lot on it, you know, as an adult and everything.
I just think in Hebrew school, they really wanted us to learn about the war and the Holocaust because in our tradition, we have to keep learning about this so that we never forget. So
right.
It doesn't happen again, but unfortunately...
Right.
Things happen.
Yeah. And, but the Holocaust was obviously, you know, devastating, but there was a 5-year war going on, you know, and this was, the whole world was threatened. And, I was reading that London was bombed. They were doing like a bombing in London, like blitzes every night for 57 nights in a row. Can you imagine, Rachel, living like that? At the time, it was scary. They didn't know what the hell was going on, you know. So I don't think there was ever a right time to bring kids into the world. You know, we were talking about how you don't want to bring kids into this world. And I just wanted to tell
80s,
you, there's always been
the
like...
The 80s and the 70s.
But you're going
were
very recently. I mean, think about like the times of the plague in Europe and the times when, you know, there were slaves and there was war all the time and all that shit. Poverty... the Great Depression.
Yeah,
I don't
but World
think we
War
II, wanted to
like,
live there.
But that was like America was like a different place then.
No, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I actually feel like America was probably doing pretty well during that time, despite
the Depression,
what was going on.
I don't know. People
Wasn't
were out of work.
Wasn't the Depression in the 1920s?
In the 30s. Yeah,
yeah
it started
I'm talking
in the
about
20s.
The 40s.
Okay, so you're going
and
pretty
the
50s. Recently, right? Right.
Yeah, I think probably within the last 50 years, 60 years, like I would say that like the 80s and the 70s were probably a better time. But then I don't think so because us growing up now, like look at my generation, we graduate from college and we're like, we're going to move back home. You know, that's like our aspirations are like free rent and, you know, Taco Bell. So I don't, and like decent weed, you know, like we don't even, we're, our standards are pretty low.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, so just in a related story to this, I guess they found a World War II bomb in Frankfurt, Germany that's never went off. It's pretty big. And so they evacuated the whole area, 60,000 people, so they can defuse it. Can you imagine this thing has been sitting there for like 80 years? You know? Not 80, but 70 years. Wow. You know,
incredible.
And yeah, so they suddenly find it, and then they don't they think, well, you know what? If it hasn't gone off in all these years, it probably won't go off now. But they have to defuse it, and that's the problem there. Also, one last thing. I guess there's a nudist area in France now that they created in a park. Would you go to a nudist camp?
Would I go to a nudist camp?
Yes. Have you ever thought about
Sam,
it?
Sam, I won't even discuss sex on the radio.
Oh,
with you.
But this is not sex. This is
would
nudity.
Would I go to a nudist camp?
Okay. I don't know why people equate nudity with sex. We're born nude. We die nude. We are nude.
Nudity and sex kind of go hand in hand.
Really?
Most of the time.
So you think that a picture of a pretty naked woman, let's say, is just as bad as a woman spreading.
No, this is, you like to put words in my mouth.
I don't.
I said nudity
I'm
and
saying,
sex
do
tend
you
to
mean,
go hand in hand.
What's that?
I said nudity and sex tend to go hand in hand.
Tend to go.
Yeah, that's
okay,
what I said.
Okay, but because people put them together, I don't think they're the same thing.
No, I didn't say they were the same.
Okay, all right.
But I think that with sex comes nudity, and with nudity comes sex.
Not necessarily. That's what I'm saying. With nudity, you don't necessarily have sex. These people go out, they expose themselves, and they just like feeling free. They don't have sex there.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
In nude beaches and stuff like that, they don't have sex in the open. You want to bet?
I'm not saying like that.
I'm telling you.
But you're
I know.
Telling me it definitely doesn't happen. It's never
not
once.
In the open.
Not
no.
once. No, never.
Not once. And wow. and the city wouldn't have even allowed
Sam,
this
you like
if
to,
there was
you're,
sex
you're,
going
you're
on.
You're like our president. You'll like say things as facts. I also brought in
you so say
I brought
things
in,
as facts.
I brought in
Excuse
evidence
me.
That women get paid less than men, which you
right.
didn't know about.
I accepted that.
And that the there have been studies that the 12-step program doesn't work.
There's been more evidence that it does work.
Show me your sources.
I will. Show me your sources.
Mine's NPR.
NPR? Okay, I'll find you sources. Okay, no doubt about it. And let me tell you this:
what do I say is facts,
but
that aren't facts?
Okay, I'll tell you like that.
Like
because
what?
Like the 12-step program. Do you know that it's been going since the 30s, and the reason it's
what
still
are,
around? Wait, wait! You don't let me finish either.
What is the success rate? What
you,
are your facts?
Okay, if we're gonna lay everything on the table, so I can say that you also don't listen to what people say. You have your own opinion, and you think about what you're gonna say next. You know, and it happens. So if it sounds like what I say is facts, let me take it back, okay? And I think let's clarify this. Everything we say here is our opinions, mm-hmm. okay? We can say it's a fact, but it's still our
but
opinion.
But I bring you evidence.
What evidence?
You
for the 12
you didn't understand.
No, the
you
12-step program.
You literally told me that you were like, I was like, women get paid less than men for the same job to the dollar.
No,
and
no,
like,
no.
I don't think that's true. I'm like, okay, but
No. That's
it's
not.
It's a fact.
Did I say? Did
yes.
I say that?
Well, roll
no,
the tapes
I didn't
back.
Say, okay, let's do that. Because these are not the words I said. Because even before we talked about it, I know it's a problem and it exists. I think I was trying to say that for me, it's not a problem with women. And in fact, I've mentioned that women that have worked for me, it never occurred to me to pay less to pay them less than I would a man. To me, it's not making sense. So if you're saying from a woman's perspective, you're seeing that and it's widespread, I accept to that. Mm-hmm. I accepted that. Okay. Do you accept that the 12-step program, if it had not been successful, would not have lasted 80, 90 years, 100 years? Why does it last?
Why does religion last?
Because it works for people.
For some people.
Okay. But it lasts,
they're
right?
A business.
Right. Who's a business?
12-step programs and religion.
Really?
Hell yeah, they make
okay.
so much money.
12
that
step
place,
programs?
That the woman we had on yesterday, I asked her, how much does it cost to go to one
right,
of her facilities?
Right, she said she didn't know.
I bet you, oh my God, that place will put people in debt.
Right, but that's
but
not
here's
a
12, my point. Here's 12, my point. Did
okay.
you go to? Have you ever been to a 12-step program?
Yes.
You smoke weed, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's my
what?
Point.
What's
work.
Your point?
You said you went for weed.
No, but the,
and now you
because
smoke
I
weed.
Was misdiagnosed for needing to go to a rehab place when what I had was bipolar.
Okay.
So I went in for a dual diagnosis.
But you,
you
still
know?
Smoke weed.
But
and
I
you
do
went for
smoke weed. I do smoke
doesn't
weed.
Doesn't work.
But I do say that I'm addicted and you don't.
Because,
that's the difference.
Because it's cannabis is a medicine. And for to say you're addicted.
For your, from your perspective. But opiates are medicine too. And people get hooked on them. So, and it's also a way of life. I'm not saying your body. It's not like heroin by any means. Mm-hmm. But it's, and you said it's about behavior. It's about the fact that you think it's okay. I think it's okay because I do it. But I think there's... It's not 100%.
It's not an addiction, Sam, because if you, I don't need, I had a joint, I rolled a joint yesterday before my second job. I had it in my bag and I was driving to work and I was like, I don't need to smoke a joint right now. If I was addicted, I'd be like, give me that fucking joint. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I,
that's too black and white, Rachel.
No, it's not. I'm not but, addicted to weed. I just like smoking weed.
I'm not
weed.
Saying you are. I'm saying I am. Okay. I
oh,
never
okay.
said you are.
But that's what I'm saying is the 12-step program doesn't work. You
no, can. Because I never followed the 12-step program because I never thought I was an addict. And that's the
that's
thing.
That's my point.
Compared
so
to
it
heroin,
work.
To compare to heroin,
so it doesn't
people.
Work.
It does work. I'm not the example. Why are you taking me and extrapolating for the whole thing?
I'm just saying, as an example, here's. A
I've seen people
example.
That have been sober for many years thanks to the 12-step program, and it keeps them sober.
And I've seen the quite opposite.
Okay, so let's maybe for next time let's
but
get some evidence.
But that's what I'm saying
Rachel.
Is NPR has right. done, there are studies out there and percentages and statistics of people of
okay
of
please
that
produce
work.
Them and then
okay.
I'll say you know what you're right and I'll stand correct.
I tried to pull it up yesterday.
No, okay, but let's do
for
it after
guest.
The show because we do have a guest
okay.
today. And but I just wanted to point out the guest from yesterday, what they have is a rehab. They have 12-step program is part of that whole thing. They're not making money from the 12-step.
No,
they're
I
making
mean,
money
but
from the
facilities
you,
are money are money makers and take advantage of people.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do, but I know a lot of facilities that do that, and they don't work for a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay.
And plus, like, behavior is a choice, and I think I don't think addiction is a disease. I think people have a choice.
Right.
Like, I think there's like people might be predisposed to, but if knowing that, why the fuck would you drink and do drugs then? Yeah. Like, that's a choice.
That's very black and white on your part, but I'll accept it. You see, the thing is that I try to listen and accept other people's opinions, you know, and that's a thing. And I'm known to change my mind when someone convinces I'm wrong.
Exactly. And then there are people who just have plain wrong opinions.
Right. Okay, so let's instead of the opinions, let's go with the facts. And for next time, let's work with that, okay? How's that? I'll make
Olivia
sure I do
my
part.
You were
part.
Trying to stage an intervention.
Rachel,
like,
let
no!
me tell you something. Okay, so if you're not sure how I stand on it, let me tell you, okay?
Yeah.
I love that you love weed, mm-hmm. okay? Because I was always like, I felt isolated because the people I was around never liked or used weed.
That's
so I was
not
never
your fault.
The only one. No, I was never I was always the only one.
Right.
So I had to do it in hiding.
Yeah.
And that's why still my opinions are like that.
I know, but you need to shift your mind focus.
I understand.
If you're not wrong for it.
I understand. I understand. I understand that. But the bottom line is that, so I don't sit here, I'm not telling you that you're addicted, I'm not telling, because I don't know what motivates you, I don't know much about you really, Rachel, I can't say you're addicted. I don't know you to the point where I can say that.
Right.
But I know myself, and I think that I am, because I don't think I could live without it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it relaxes me to the point where, I mean, I could live without it, but I'd be a very miserable person.
Right, you could live without it.
Right.
You just don't want to.
Right.
It's a choice.
That's true.
You're not, it's yeah. not, you know.
Yeah. No, I do want
to. If you had to go travel to another country,
yeah.
You would know that you couldn't travel with it, and you would have to go without it for a few
right, weeks. Right,
and
which I have.
And you would be okay with that.
But I wasn't okay with it. I mean, I was having withdrawals, but... But, you know, when you have withdrawals when you go on a trip, that's the worst thing.
What kind of withdrawals? It was not linked to anything.
No, I was just got really depressed. And, you know, I mean, I was like in London. I remember I had to be there for 2 days before I got to Israel.
Yeah, but that may not necessarily be the weed's fault. Do you get what I'm saying?
No. Well, I don't know. When I rely on it, look, you know how it affects, how greatly it can affect you in a positive way.
My thing is, like, depression might be there even without the weed.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't want to stop it.
Well, that's my point is it's not the weed that's doing that. There's something inside of you there's something that's going on that is causing that depression.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Well, we definitely want to get to our guest now. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And that's why Rachel is here, because she has opinions and stuff to talk about. We definitely don't want someone here to say that's right, and I've had that before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no fun.
You have had someone that's agreed with you on everything,
on a lot of things. Yeah,
I'd like to meet that. You should marry her.
But no, but the point is that I think the show never went really deep anyway.
Because
of that.
Okay.
Yeah, but we don't need to mention names
until after.
All right, folks. We welcome our guest to the show. We're joined by Dom Marcel. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Of course. I'm like reading your name from your website, but your full name is actually Dominic Marcel. Or is it Dominique?
Dominique,
right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Dominique, because it's French, right?
Yes.
Dominique Marcel Collins.
Correct.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys.
And he got here very early, and I truly appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh.
Appreciated it.
Making me look bad.
No. But
I blame the owner.
He got here even before I did,
okay.
We had to come upstairs together. But we truly appreciate that, even though you came from far away, right?
Yes. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. So you're visiting LA. So let's find out a little bit about why are you here. You told me you had lived here before. Where do you currently live?
I'm in New York, Big Apple.
Oh, New York City.
Yeah.
And so you moved there from here?
No, so actually I used to live in L.A. I went to University of Southern California.
Oh. Fight on, baby.
USC Trojans. All right.
Trojans. And then I worked professionally here. And then I went to New York for a little bit. And then I went to grad school in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And then after grad school, I'm back in New York.
I see. Wow. So we have a smart guy here with a master's degree and everything. My God. So you probably would want to join our conversation that was so like heated and stuff. We can go there,
I could be the objective guy, though. I like to mediate discussions because I see both sides of the
right,
story.
Right, right. That's always, important, right? Yeah, to look at two sides.
Absolutely. It's
very important. Yeah. That's awesome. Tell us where you were born. Where are you originally from?
So I was born in Puerto Rico, and then I grew up in New Orleans.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Puerto Rico, that's cool, right? I've been there, but on a ship, and it was only for a few hours.
It's so beautiful.
But it was beautiful. Yeah. I remember that.
So grew up in New Orleans. You know, as you know, New Orleans is full of culture.
Yeah, that's
food,
true, right?
Music.
What a place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I grew up in New Orleans. I spent some time in San Diego for a little bit, but then majority of my childhood was New Orleans.
I see. Now, what was it like there? I mean, did you so your family moved from Puerto Rico to New Orleans, right?
Correct.
What year was it? Do you remember? No, I'm wondering because I'm trying to picture what the South was like back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, well,
you know?
I'm an '80s baby, millennial baby. Hey, but you know, my dad was in the military, so he lived in Hawaii. My dad lived in the Philippines, but my dad and my mom were from New Orleans. They're native New Orleans.
I see. Originally from there.
Yeah.
I
so, but my dad.
But so you do you have dual citizenship to Puerto Rico and the U.S.?
No,
because they're territory,
part of,
right?
Territory, right? Mm-hmm. So you're automatically.
But you were born
American.
There in a hospital in Puerto Rico.
Correct.
Yeah. That's
yes.
cool.
Yeah. Where else could it be born at home?
No, but like, because, is that because your dad was stationed there at the time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. That's there. What you mean. I thought I thought you meant the hospital as opposed to like.
No, because he said he's a his dad was in the military.
That's
so I was like, because and then his both of his parents were from Louisiana. So I was like, how? So he's not necessarily Puerto Rican. He
right.
was just.
I'm too fucked up. Don't listen to me. Now.
Anyway, but you're not considered a Puerto Rican because you're. Are you?
I guess not, but you know, some Puerto Ricans always tell me you should say you're Puerto Rican because you were born in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So hey, I'm Puerto Rican. Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'm Puerto Rican.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but a lot of people think I'm Puerto Rican. But hey, I think it's a beautiful culture.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and
but your parents aren't Puerto Rican.
No.
Okay.
They're not Puerto Rican.
Sounds cool. So do you have siblings? Do you have a big family?
Yes. So I came from a family of. Five children. So it was three guys, including me, and two sisters. But one of my sisters passed away in 2009. But five kids, but family of seven.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? That's a big family, right?
Big family.
Is it true that they say, like, it's not as hard as you think because the kids raise the younger kids? Is that true? Or is that like in the old days?
I think that's just in Lifetime movies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say my oldest brother raised me. My mom definitely raised me.
Yeah.
And my dad. So, but my brother, you know, I looked up to my brother a lot because I always thought my older brothers were cool, the cool guys, because they were very popular and stuff like that. So
I see. Mm-hmm. So you're the youngest of the boys.
Yeah.
I see.
Of the boys.
Wow. And what order are you in the birth order?
Fourth out of five.
Fourth. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty, you know, it's like, how do you find your place in the family with five kids? No, really.
Well, so my place in the family has always been like the comedian. The comedic relief.
There you go, Rachel.
To my family.
Were you always funny too? Were you like a comedian?
I used to come downstairs and like every morning and do like a set almost. Uh-huh. Like just for like I would just like roast everything. My mom would be like, "You should do comedy," but I'm like, "I'm seven," you know.
Yeah. So I always liked, you know, making people laugh since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got on my mom's nerves.
You did.
Sure.
So
I always got on my mom's
nerves. But you did you realize early on you were like a creative? Because we didn't introduce you as the musician, but you are indeed a musician, a busy musician, and we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But did you feel at that point, I really don't want to be a lawyer or a doctor or anything like that?
So ever since I was a little kid, I would say since I was three. I've been singing since I was three.
Yeah.
I used to get like, chess pieces, you know, chess, and I would put them on the table and imagine that they were a choir and I'm a director. And I would sing.
How cool is that?
I used to do that with a lot of objects.
Yeah.
So I was always singing since I was a little kid, and my dad had home videos of me singing as well. So I knew from early on that I really, it was something I gravitated towards.
Yeah.
And then I did that throughout childhood. I went to schools that valued the arts. So, you know, I took part in different theater productions. I sang in my church choir.
That's usually the case, though, right? People start in the choir at church. Yeah. You know? But that's true, though. But it gives you sort of like maybe you become more free around people to be able to sing, right?
It teaches you performance skills. It teaches you melody, because when you're in the choir, you have to learn that you have to have that ear for melody.
That's true, right?
Especially when you are, there's so many people have different parts of different harmonies.
Right.
It teaches you how to pick that up easily.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, but it's hard, huh?
It's very, in the beginning it's hard, but then it becomes second nature, because once you become immersed in something like that, you know how to pick up melody, you know how to pick up harmonies. So I pretty much, I've applied that to my life, because I vocally arrange all my songs, three-part harmonies, sometimes even four-part harmonies.
Really? Wow. That's pretty cool. You see, I always love to sing, too, so I can relate to that,
right.
You know? Because, I don't know, it just feels good in your throat, you know? It's like your whole head, your whole body just gets into it. And I haven't had a chance to really find a place where I can sing loud, not have to blast the music, the neighbors out and stuff. And so maybe just in the studio. I thought even here at night after everybody goes, I can sit here and sing like a, you know, so from here till eternity. So, but it gives you a good feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that you decided to pursue this professionally, because I would say many kids and mostly teenagers, I think in your teen years, you really connect to music, right? It becomes part of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about writing songs and stuff at a young age. I remember that I wrote a song called I'm in Love with My Guitar, you know, because that was the situation, you know?
Where you wrote the song?
I wrote the song, know, and I was like in my teens, like 13, but I got a new Gibson SG and stuff, and it was like an amazing guitar, and everybody was like envious and stuff, and I thought, wow, I love this guitar. It lets me express my music.
Absolutely.
You know, and I thought, yeah, so I love my guitar. That's kind of a song that I wrote. And the reason I'm saying that is because as teens, the music is so important, right?
Absolutely.
That you identified with it, but you went to the next step. You said, I'm not just going to like this stuff. I'm actually going to pursue a career.
Absolutely.
Wow. So after high school, how did you decide on USC? How did that come about?
Absolutely. So when I was in high school, I performed in high school. Even in middle school, too, I performed in middle school. So I did some theater productions, and at the same time, I was still involved in my church. So music, the performing aspect actually drew people to me at my high school. So I was like, oh, cool, because people were like, oh, my God, you can sing. I was like, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. So then people were kept telling me that. So I was like, okay, I want to go to a city, LA, that's known for the arts, that's, you know, that I can pretty much start. I was 17 years old when I made that decision to say, okay, I want to go to a school in LA to allow me to do that concurrent to my studies. So USC was the choice for me, because when I visited there, I had a great time. I was, you know, given the tour, and I felt it was just everything about USC, just the location, the people. It was very diverse culture. I just got a good feeling from it.
Yeah.
And then obviously a lot of people, the USC network is so strong in LA, a lot of notable people and singing and directing and stuff like that. So I was like, amazing, I can pretty much do this and have, you know, I have the network as well.
Yeah I know. I know, I didn't mean to respond that way. I just got distracted by text and you know, it's like technical stuff, but at any rate, when you get distracted, you get distracted. But at any rate, so USC is, it is an amazing place, and people are connected, right? So, but you had to obviously have good grades.
Yes,
how
sir.
Did you manage that in school?
Absolutely.
It was very stressful, let me tell you.
So, concurrent to my studies, I actually performed. I was performing at clubs, performing on campus at different student activities. And then I was writing all my stuff. I was choreographing my shows.
Really? You
know, a brother knows how to build up some dances. and it was very difficult, honestly, because I did internships too. Uh-huh. HBO, Atlantic Records, and Warner Brothers.
Nice. And so, do you feel that helped you later
absolutely,
on?
Absolutely.
Really? So absolutely. You recommend people do internships and stuff?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Especially if you're an artist, because you get to learn how those decisions are made, what they look for.
You understand the business,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's so
important. It's probably in everything that you want to do. You want to get into an internship and see what it's like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I need to talk to my daughter about that.
Yeah, so
she wants to get into comics and stuff, you know?
She does, okay.
Yeah, and I told her, I said, you got to do something, you mm-hmm. know? Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so it was difficult, but I still managed.
Yeah.
You know, it teaches you a lot of time management skills.
Yeah.
You have so much stuff going on. So I was a young guy, broke college kid, trying to do his thing.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been exciting, though, to be accepted into USC, right? I mean, I would have been very privileged. I never tried, you know, but I don't think I had the grades, you know, so mm-hmm. from high school to get in. But and I guess back then, I wasn't even aware of all the student loan process mm-hmm. and all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know shit then. I just moved here 2 years before
Knowledge
that,
is power.
You know? It really is, you know. Look, I moved here at 16. I didn't know anything. And at 18, I was ready to go to college. What did I know about anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think nowadays everything is just so – the information is so easily accessible because of the internet.
You know, so we're a lot smarter now, right, than with the phones.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, not having that
back
in the day. So –
we didn't have a lot of shit, man. I'm telling you, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back, really, you know, because you just had to go with. What
How
you
did
had.
People make plans?
Good question.
You
right?
know, like you literally had to rely on your word. Like someone's like, "I'm gonna be there at 7:30." There's no like, "Oh, I'm leaving now. I'm on my way."
Right.
Like,
yeah.
See you in 10. You know.
Not only that, I lived back at a time. Okay, at least in Israel, where it was a smaller place, right? People knew each other better and stuff. I totally forgot what I want to say. I'm being distracted. People, stop fucking texting me. You know what?
Speaking of technology.
Yeah, let me get rid of my watch.
Turn off your phones and your watches.
And my watch.
Okay, what are they saying?
No, it's nothing. It's just like technical stuff in the business in the background that I need to be aware of. And... you know, and it's just coming to me where I should be thinking about the show.
Yeah, but also,
so I'm getting,
if
like,
this
distracted.
Were back in the day, you wouldn't be receiving those texts.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But that's what we were
they
talking about.
They would just
about,
have
right?
to
Thank
deal with it on their own.
Me.
You know?
But, yeah, but when people knew each other, they would actually drop by at your house without mm-hmm. calling. This is before phones.
Now it's creepy.
Right?
Yeah, if you come by unannounced, like, why didn't you text
right,
me
but before phones,
you
that's
knew,
what you did.
You know?
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing. I guess people just figured, look, if it's before 8 o'clock in the evening, we can still try and drop by. All we can do is they come and they say, oh, we're sleeping. And that's it. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
What kind of a fucking life is that?
Come, like
Whoa,
that
I
was
feel
your,
so ancient.
That was like your text messages, like just having people come by your house like between the hours of like after work or school and 8 o'clock. Like people just showed up.
Right. I know. I'm like thinking now in the classroom, like, what do kids do? They obviously text to each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Hello, I used to pass notes.
Yeah.
I was in Catholic school my freshman year and I passed a note about like a boyfriend or something. And like the teacher confiscated the note and like threatened to read it
in front of everybody.
Class.
Oh
like,
my God.
What kind of evil person? That's when I became an atheist.
Yeah. You see, and that's what happens, man. When people they have religion shoved down their throat, they become very anti.
I'm like, Jesus would not read my notes to the class. Like, he would keep that shit private and seek me out later.
You see,
you
already knew that early on, you know?
She's terrible.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to a musician, singer, Dom Marcel. visiting us from New York City.
Yes, sir.
So we're back to USC. So what did you major in, music or?
Communications.
Communication.
And business as well.
I'm a communications major.
All righty. Mm-hmm. So you awesome. Know how to communicate. All right.
Yes. Well, that's why she's here. She we also does we comedy. It. She can communicate. Yeah.
Absolutely. I just am trying to use my degree to like the. I've spent, you know, it took me 6 years to like get. Well, I got a master's, but I got like a several degrees. I did the 6 year tour, you know.
Wow.
And I took my time. But I mean, I had like time in between. Mm-hmm. But whatever. So yes. Like, I'm trying to.
But listen, investing that 6 years is enough you know, for me that, to respect
like,
anybody.
That I'm using my degree. You know, right. I'm not one of those people that are like, I have a psychology degree and I
right know. Or yeah or like a fine arts or something and they can't do anything with it yeah. You know like theater or whatever I don't know some people use it but many people are saying it's useless in the business world so I don't know but
fine
anyway,
arts degree in the business world I feel like that would help
you know, I know I wish it depends what but you know obviously a business degree would get you farther in the business world mm-hmm. than a fine arts degree. You know, so, I mean, some companies, I think, do look for someone who's totally, like, well-rounded, right?
Well, yeah, I think, to your point about the finance degree, I think it's important as professionals to have that duality, mm-hmm. the intellect as well as creative side, because right. a lot of decisions don't always require knowledge. It requires forward thinking skills, which is basically creativity. Because... as you know, as things are changing, consumer tastes are evolving and technology is changing, we have to think outside the mm-hmm. box.
Right.
Because a lot of things that have been done historically
aren't
you know,
working anymore.
Are antiquated. So I think having a fine arts degree, because my mantra has always been, because I always was involved in the arts, you know, throughout childhood as well as, you know, even in college and even as a professional, because I still maintain that creativity by doing shows, theater productions, as well as still singing in the choir.
Right. And we need that. We need people to do this. Yeah. We don't need all business people.
Yeah, you need somebody to, to bounce ideas off. It's, you know, diversity of opinions and, you know, different perspectives. So
that's why they can't get rid of, like, fine arts in schools and stuff. Like, kids need that just as much as they need math and
absolutely
science,
I mean that's absolutely. A humanities you know absolutely. I mean you can't live without the culture
mm-hmm.
but
absolutely.
Also like we our generation is so much more of an entrepreneur like we're forced to be creative with how we make money because like that's going true. To that 9-to-5 doesn't necessarily pay like people have to take second jobs third jobs or whatever or they have to get mm-hmm. creative of what their side gig is so that they're not going to be doing that 9-to-5 forever
because mm-hmm. right.
you're going to get I mean that only pays you so much you,
it's, right no that's true but the important thing is you need to be a person that can work 9-to-5 mm-hmm. in an office you know not
I,
many
not,
people
not
can
true.
Do this
I've been that 9-to-5 person and I cannot work in an office
that's what I mean no oh. that's exactly what I mean that some people cannot do that
yeah.
9-to-5 in an office
right,
I can't do it I did
do
for many
else.
Years
yeah.
I can't do it and that's what I'm saying creative people can't do it
yeah.
You know, you can't sit in an office for all this.
Yeah.
You know, and some people would just love
I mean,
it.
I
look
think
at
everyone,
lawyers and
I think
shit.
Everyone yeah. needs to, like, know what... Like, everyone has to, I feel like, have to have that 9-to-5 to find out if they're that person or if they like it or, you know, what they liked about it and what they didn't. Mm-hmm. And, but, like, you're right. I think that is designed for, like... Like, the 9-to-5, I mean, it's just such an archaic way of working. I think, like, that was, like, in the factories, you know, you worked from a certain hour to the certain hour. But, like,
right.
As a society, I don't know if we necessarily need that 9-to-5 because think about it. People can work from home.
Right.
And they can get everything done on a computer. And that 9-to-5 is going to, you know, like, it doesn't need to, and I think some places are seeing that... It's not as cost effective to have people come into an office
right.
9-to-5 commuting there. They waste time commuting. Like, you know, I would, when I worked in an office, it took me over 2 hours of commute every day.
Wow.
So that's almost 20 hours
a week
that I could be spending working.
Doing something
you know?
Else.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. So listen, I want to get into a little bit about, the career and everything, but I do want to sort of like tie the loose ends here. So after USC, what was the next step after that?
After USC, I worked in corporate America. So I worked at a commercial real estate brokerage.
Okay, so that's what we were just talking about, right? Doing the business.
9 to 5, you know.
Right.
Exactly what Rachel was saying. So I did that. I worked at a boutique investment bank. Then I went to New York. I worked at a financial services firm. And then I was like, hey, in order to take my career to the next level, because I was still thinking business, you know.
Right.
I put music aside.
So you did set it aside
for
now.
Yeah, because in college, you know, I was trying to make it happen. I was getting the runaround from people in the business. Oh, I can help you out. Oh, come over here. But they were like real, pretty much freaks, either freaks or.
Yes, it's the same with comedy.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Freaks or people who are liars or just people who are just giving, selling a false dream. Wow. So I was like, man, these people are just getting on my nerves. And I was like, I'm still young. I was like, I need some money to make money. I don't want to keep asking my dad for money. So I was like, I need to just be independent and just do this corporate America thing. And I was like, maybe music is not for me. So I just put it aside. I just put it behind me.
Right.
Coming back to, so while I was in New York, I was like, okay, I want to take my career to the next level, and I eventually do want to be an entrepreneur. I don't know what it would be. I eventually want to maintain independence, so I wanted to get a JD MBA, which is a law degree and a master's in business administration, which will allow me to do that eventually. So that skill set, you know, going to a top school at Northwestern University opened so many doors from a corporate, from an opportunity standpoint and networking standpoint.
So you took business and law together?
Correct.
At Northwestern?
At Northwestern.
Jesus. Yeah. You might be the most networked person I know. Like, you got USC and Northwestern?
You see, I mean, and that's a lesson and inspiration for kids, I think, to realize if you excel in school, this is where you're going to go, right?
You never know what life can take you.
So growing up as in high school and stuff, did your parents give you discipline in school? I mean, because you have... In order to get into schools like this, you have to start early on being a good student. So.
Well, no, I mean, I was a horrible, high school was terrible for me. It just I was smart, but I wasn't getting the right education. I wasn't retaining the information. So I went to a 2-year school, almost like a junior college. And then every college I applied from that 2-year school, that was 4-year. I got into American, Northeastern. I went to American.
Really?
I would never have gotten into American applying from high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are different ways to get to there. There's no one route to get to top universities. But to answer your question, absolutely. My dad was very strict and regimented growing up. We couldn't watch. We didn't have cable. He didn't allow that. We couldn't listen to secular music. We couldn't watch TV during the weekdays. So he was always, him and my mom were very gung-ho as far as doing your homework, excelling in school. You always can do the TV on the weekends. That was the time. And we actually couldn't even really go to parties either. So
Did you feel like we're missing out?
What the hell would you doing? I want to have fun.
Right. And now you look back and you go, shit, you know, man.
Yeah, it was for a purpose. You know, I missed out on certain opportunities, you know, as a kid, like some of the house parties. But hey, I mean,
there's always going to be more house parties.
Look, it formed you as a human being. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got degrees, you got complicated, hard degrees, you got into at major schools, you know, and I can't see how you will not succeed in everything that you do. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Because you got your shit together. Let's put it that way.
Thank you.
Right. So I want to get to your music. We only have a few minutes left. Okay. So tell us quickly how did you get to today?
Absolutely. So
to what you're doing now?
I started working as an investment banker on Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
And I was like...
And you make beaucoup money?
I was as a media entertainment investment banker, but still, I wasn't happy. Money doesn't make you happy.
Really?
What makes you happy is you're fulfilling your passion in life.
Wow.
And it never went away.
Yeah.
I was like, I was wondering what was going to make me happy. Then I was like, why don't I start writing again? And I made the decision to write while my last semester in Northwestern, and it just took off from there.
Yeah.
It just took off, and then recently I left my job because I couldn't handle both anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much an entrepreneur, entrepreneur slash musician.
Right.
But I love it because I wake up every day happy. And when I wake up every day happy, that means you know you found.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I mean, for many years when I was a young kid just growing up, I would tell my mom something like, you know, I don't like going to work or doing this boring thing or something. And she would say, well, but this is work, you know, you're not supposed to enjoy it. But today it's different, you know. I mean, today we realize you can't get up every day. I mean, I remember times before, before I started this station, before I knew in the morning I'm going in to do a radio show, I it was so hard for me to get out of bed because I did not look forward to the day. I'm like, oh no, not another 10 hours now of doing the same shit over and over with numbers and stupid people and whatever, you know. So I know where you come from, you know, and the same with you, Rachel. I can understand this this need in creative people to be outside the box, mm-hmm. to be outside those four walls, mm-hmm. and we can't sit down. We're restless. We need to create. We need to entertain people, mm-hmm. right?
And one quick point, though. I don't take anything back, though, because corporate America, both before grad school and after, I'm leveraging all those experiences,
right?
Those that knowledge
connections too.
Not only connections, but how to manage a business, how to build a team, how to develop an effective marketing strategy.
True,
all
huh?
that stuff is important for me to build a business.
So all these components came together for you.
It's crazy how life takes you.
So that you could be your own marketing firm, you can be your own business, you could be your own. You know, like you don't need to seek that out. You know, that's all within
and
you.
And I, you know, I have a law degree, so I did some legal things too. I did my trademarks, I did my copyrights.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have to pay for all that shit. You're like a walking.
Yeah, I just, everything in my life has happened for a reason. That's how I know I believe in, you know, that predetermined destiny, mm-hmm. because you are here for a purpose. And when your purpose is realized, then everything that you do along the way is fulfilling that purpose.
That's what I believe. Right. I believe mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that you're on the right track. And talking about tracks, let's play a couple of your stuff here, because we want to know what Dom is all about, because after all, he's here to promote his music and everything. Let me go to the homepage, and you guys can follow us. Go to DomMarcelMusic.com, and you can follow us there. You can see how handsome the man is. Now,
thanks.
You told me you want us to play DTK?
DTK.
Okay, let's listen real quick and see what Dom is about. Love it already, man. That's what we need in the morning, you know?
Every time that I see you put that thing on me, and every time you dirty fight, I come back up behind. You go left and right, back and forth, move it over my way. Hope it happens every day. When you drop that kitty for me, just drop that kitty, baby.
When the beat drops, the rhythm got you feeling good. Can't even speak if I could. Make sure you lose control. Come on, let's roll.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Let me
ask you something, okay? I'm looking at your picture here, and I'm seeing a guy who's really ripped and everything. Is that you?
It is.
Okay. Can we look?
It is.
I mean, I want to see how ripped you are. Can you
open your shirt for me? Hold on.
Are you serious? What kind of show is this? You know what I mean?
No, because he's really...
Are you feeling objectified?
I feel objectified.
From
and
a guy,
he already
right?
said he's a nudist.
Right. No, I'm just a straight man who loves to think about sex all the time. But no, but the case
should,
here,
did you see the,
this
you
is
see,
not about sexual. I want you to understand something. You're really built nicely, right? I mean, you work out a lot, mm-hmm. obviously.
Thank you.
And that's important too. So there's another inspiring thing, man. I mean, not only do you follow your dreams, but you make sure you stay healthy, stay in shape and everything. Let me ask you this. Have you found a woman yet?
I have not.
You have not found one. Are you looking?
I am not.
He's not looking.
I am not, because this is my full-time endeavor. It's a day in and day out.
Really?
Day in and day out for me.
Wow.
Yeah. He doesn't have time for that.
Okay.
That's a distraction.
Day in and day out.
That's a distraction. Okay, girls, so you just get to watch and to look, but you don't get to touch. DTK, man. DTK.
No, but yeah, the video is very illustrative of who I am. Just like turned up, comedic, like to have fun.
Yeah.
A lot of good looking people in there. So, you know, like to keep it a good time.
So, you know, we're totally out of time. In fact, we're over time. But you know what? Let's play at least a minute of That's What's Up.
All right.
Okay, cool. Let's do that real quick.
Thank you, sir.
It's awesome music. Congratulations to you, man.
Thank you, guys.
So tell people how they can find you, how they can get your music, and follow your journey. I mean, you're a young man. You still have so much you've accomplished so much already.
Thank you. Appreciate
and
it.
You still have a lot of time left. So,
appreciate
wow,
it.
You know. There's an inspiring man. You see, he was sent to us on Friday, on September 1st, which is the first day of the month. And the first day of the quarter, right?
Good start to the month, I hope.
October,
play
November, December. Yeah.
First of the month.
Yeah, there you go.
Pull that up.
So to answer your question, yes. You can find me on Instagram.
Okay.
Twitter. Facebook. SoundCloud.
Is this like all your alter ego or something? I love that.
All at Dom Marcel. DOMMARCELL. And then you can also, as you stated, find me on my website. www.dommarcelmusic.com.
There you go. And you can find out everything about him. Dom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
You're amazing.
Appreciate
you see, it's these times when I wish the show was back to 2 hours because we haven't even covered anything, you know. I would have loved... Well, you know what? When are you coming back to L.A.? You just came to visit now.
I'm always here, so whenever you guys want me to come back, I'm here, you know, periodically, so...
Yeah. Business, pleasure, both?
Both.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm here for weddings.
So you're bi-coastal and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm
here for weddings and then also interviews.
Why did you decide to stay in New York and not here?
That's a good question. But eventually I will definitely come back, at least be bi-coastal.
Is it because you were working there already on Wall Street
it was,
and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was just a natural progression just for me to just stay there because I was already in my lease and all that stuff. But... I'm always, you know, open to come back.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have you back on the show.
Cool.
Whenever you're back in town, just let me know.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll continue talking about other stuff as well.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, Rachel. Thanks
always.
As always. We'll see everybody, not Monday, because it's a holiday, guys.
Oh, I know.
Don't forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot. Mm. So have a great 3-day weekend, folks. We'll see you all on Tuesday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.